Well, good evening. Happy spring break week. We are all that's left that's not at the beach or on the slopes or on a cruise somewhere. Not that we're bitter or anything, just saying. But seriously, man, we're so excited that you would join us tonight for renewal. Whether you're watching online or you're here with us today, man, my prayer all day and this week has been that God would speak into our lives. And that as a result of tonight, we would be closer to the Father than we are. You're probably maybe wondering who I am. For those that were in the room when Chuck stood up earlier, he introduced me. But for those that came in late, my name is Brent Isbell, and I am the church planner in residence here at Pine Lake. And I just want to say on behalf of our family, to the leadership of this church, to the elders, and to you as a church body, thank you so much for being a kingdom-minded church. The investment that you guys are making into our lives spiritually, the leadership. As we saw those names on the screen, I thought about Brandon, Bruce, and Jason Smith, who we've already got to go and visit, and they've spoken to our lives. And what God is beginning to do is it's not only when you launch us out, and we just go and do our thing, we just feel like we're part of the family. And we've made some friendships here that we know will carry for a lifetime. And so I just want you to know, man, we are grateful, and we're excited. When we plant, we are telling our people we're going to be born pregnant. And next year, there'll be some residents that come after me. And from day one, our church, Epic Life, we are going to be praying for those people. And we are going to be giving to those people. And because of the example you have set for us and spoken to our lives. And I just will forever be thankful for that. And so tonight, as we kind of jump in, I just want us to do something. I know we've prayed a lot, but I just would like if everybody could take their hands, kind of like this. It's something I love to do, and I'm just going to pray for us. But before we pray, I just want to say the reason we're having our hands like this way, because we're posturing ourselves. And tonight, we're going to walk in, and this is something I've prayed for myself. And we're going to say, God, if there's something in my life that's holding me back from becoming all that you want me to be, Lord, I'm asking you to take it. But also tonight, as we're asking God, we're going to ask him to also freely to give to us, which is good and will guide our lives. So Jesus, we ask that. God, we ask tonight as we walk in this room from all different walks of life, with all different types of struggles and issues. And Lord, we are so inclined to just want to keep our hands closed because we want to hold on dearly to what is ours. But Lord, I just pray tonight as we have our hands open, God, would you begin taking those things that hold us back. But also, God, we're excited. Because our hands are open to you right now, and you're a good father. So God, we freely receive a word from you tonight. And I pray that in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, when I was 16 years old, like many of you were at one point, or maybe some of you are one day hoping, and the reason 16 is kind of a magical number, unless you're really old, that's when you started to get to drive. And so when I turned 16, I was excited. Even if I drove my mom's minivan around, we found ways to make that cool, even though that was impossible. My dad brought me home one day a car. And I was like, oh, you think? He said, well, it's either this or nothing. So I was like, all right, I'm pretty excited. So my dad gave me a 1988 Cutlass Calais Supreme. Sounds fancy? It was not. It was a $2,000 car because my dad knew something very important about me, that I was a spoiled teenager and I didn't take care of things. And so it was the perfect car for me, and it got me to and fro wherever I was going. But one day, as I was driving my car, I tried to roll down my window, and I realized my window, the fuse went out. Well, that was a big problem for a teenager because after baseball practice or run around with my friends, we would always stop by McDonald's or wherever and grab fast food. Well, one night I was hanging out with my friend Shannon. Her parents were watching TV, and we decide we're hungry, and so we're going to run down the street to Wendy's. And we get to Wendy's, and we realize the only thing that is open is the Wendy's late-night drive-thru. And this is where many of you in the room would have admitted defeat, not me. This is when I said, I'm not going to be deterred. So I spun my car around, threw it in reverse, rolled down the passenger side window, and began to go through the drive-thru backwards. My friend is totally embarrassed. She's like trying to hide. We pull up. The lady at the window has no clue what's going on. She's thinking, man, what is wrong with this guy? She calls all her coworkers. They look out. Everyone gets a good laugh, but you know what? We get our food and we go on our way. I tell you that for two reasons. One, I want you to know a couple things about me. One, I'm never going to pass up an opportunity to have fun. But two is that I was determined. In that moment, I was determined that I was not going to let what was broken with my car, my window, keep me from getting a chicken sandwich, a Frosty, and a Coke. And I would love to tell you in life that in all my life, I've been that determined. But if I'm honest, there have been plenty of times in my life that unlike my window that night that I didn't let bother me, there have been things in my life. There have been issues in my life. There have been hurts. There have been insecurities. There have been struggles that I've let keep me from pursuing things that are far greater and have a much greater significant value and spiritual value than the things that the Lord is calling me to. That I let things in my life that were broken or things that someone's maybe said to me or insecurities that I had keep me from pursuing God's best. And if I was to guess, I would say there are a lot of us in the room at times that we've let things that we don't like about ourselves, things that have been done to us, keep us from becoming and pursuing all that God has for our lives. For me personally, it was a kid that grew up struggling with a learning disability. I really struggled in school. In fact, I hated school. When all my friends when I was little got to go to sports camp and church camp, I went to camp for kids with learning disabilities. And if you can imagine as a kid how embarrassing that was. Not that there was anything wrong in it. I'm super grateful that I had loving parents that would do anything and everything to help me become all that God wanted me to be. But in that moment, when you're a third grader and your friends are like, man, what are you doing this week? I'm like, I'm going to camp. They're like, awesome. Are you going to football camp? I'm like, no. What kind of camp are you going? Oh, learning disability camp. You know, I mean, it was not something cool. And then growing up, also taking meds for ADHD, it was just before everyone was medicated under the sun. And so it was really something I was embarrassed about. And like, I would hide my Ritalin in between my sandwiches in high school and did not want anyone to know. And those insecurities followed me all the way through adulthood. And I had to wrestle with in counseling when we were married. And if I'm honest, even today, sometimes those things can still come up to the surface and cause me to be insecure, to feel like I'm not good enough. And I would say to you tonight, what is it for you? What is it? For you, it might be that you have a very similar story to me, that you struggled in school. And that you've had a hard time and you just never felt like you were smart enough. You just wondered, God, why does everyone around me seem to get this? And like, I'd have no clue what's going on. And no matter how much tutoring I get, it just doesn't seem to click. Maybe for some of you in the room, you just never felt pretty enough. I mean, for us women, as raising a young, beautiful daughter, like the struggle is real. I mean, she is teeny. She is in the third percentile of height and weight. And she's still already worried about that because we have magazine shelves in the store that are not real. Do you realize that if you're a woman, when you look at that, unless you maybe got a CrossFit Journal magazine, there is no picture of a woman that's real. It's all airbrushed. And what I would say is when we try to pursue something that's not real, that's insane. And we will never, how can you become something or achieve something that's not even real? And maybe for you, is you just always felt like you were overlooked and you were never picked. In fact, you see your kids playing with a kickball and it gives you anxiety because you have like flashbacks to the playground as a kid and you were always the last person picked. And you just have always, that stuck with you. Maybe you're not even like that. Maybe you are always the one that was picked. You're always the one that everyone wanted to hoist up and celebrate. But maybe this year, for the first time at your job, someone got a promotion instead of you. It was the new young guy just out of college that had all this potential, and you're going, I've been here for 20 years working at this company, and now this person just is going to bypass me? And for the first time in your life, you're dealing with real rejection and real hurt and real struggle, and you're feeling inadequate, and you don't even know what is going on. Some of you, as a kid, your parents went through a messy divorce. Maybe you're a kid in the room, and your parents currently are going through a messy divorce. And somehow along the lines, as a kid, you begin to place some of that blame of your parents' failure on your shoulders and have carried it all the way through adulthood. And even you just despise the holidays because it's a reminder that you're always going to have to be vanning around and shuttling around just to get from here to there. And there are even some of us in the room, if we're honest, You had nothing to do with the hurt in your life. It came at the hands or the mouth of someone else. They spoke things verbally or they put their hands on you and you suffered some type of abuse. And you're just simply a victim. And if that was you, I would just say, I am so sorry that is your story. And I want you to know God sees you and he loves you. And despite what maybe have done to you, there is still redemption and healing in your story if you will let him. And all these things we deal with, okay, you know, why do we have all this abuse? You look going, Brent, why do we have all these struggles? Why do we have, you know, divorce? Why do we have abuse? Why do we have insecurities? Why do we do? Because we live in a fallen world. You see, if you go back into the Bible all the way to Genesis account, when God created, he said it was good. He says it's not good for man to be alone. So he creates his wife, he creates Eve. But right after that, he's created Adam and Eve. Satan comes on the scene in Genesis 3. God's given Adam and Eve one rule. Do not eat from the tree of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan comes in and says, well, God doesn't want you to eat from it because he doesn't want you to be like him. And he begins to lie. No, God did not want Adam and Eve to know what evil was. What Satan said was, is God's holding out on you. But what Adam and Eve thought was, God is holding out on me, not that he's trying to protect me. You see, in the beginning, in the garden, God created us perfect, without sin. And within us, he placed these mirrored souls. And the reason he created you was to reflect the glory of God. Then when people would see you, what they would see is you are an image bearer. They would see God working in and through you, that he would see this perfect, holy reflection as unto God. And this was so good. And this was great. This is as good as it gets. But Satan said, this isn't enough. And what he did is he began to tell them, you know, God's holding out on you. And so as a result, what does Adam and Eve do? They believe, you know what? God is holding out on us. And they take the fruit and then they eat it. And in that moment, sin entered the world. And in the moment sin entered the world, brokenness entered the world because the image of God that God put in us was shattered. I think that's a lot of times what we do is we just kind of glass over this. You see, you can't glass over the fact of what sin is. Same mirror as that one. But when sin entered the world, what was perfect is now shattered. And here's what you need to know. You can be the wealthiest person on the face of this earth. You can have all the money. You can have all the time, all the resources. You could live for 1,000,000 years. And here's what you need to know. There is no way that you can make this mirror reflect the image it was created to make, to reflect. It's damaged. There is no fixing this. And what some of you need to realize for the first time in your life is that the reason you struggle in life, it's not because you're a bad person. It's because you are a broken person. You have a problem. And what the enemy wants is you to try to fix everything in your life without fixing what has to be fixed. What you need is for God to come in, for God to redeem you. What you need to realize, there is no remedy. There's no remedy for this. And if you are without Christ, there is no remedy within you. There is no answer within yourself to fix this. What you need desperately is for God to come in and to give you a new soul. And if that is you, you can even do that right now while I'm talking. You can say, God, for the first time, you know what? I just came in here with a friend because I thought someone looked cute and I was hanging out. I don't know what your story is, but here's what I would say. If this is you, this doesn't have to be your story. All you have to say is, God, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me? I recognize that, you know what? What he's saying resonates. I'm broken, and I need to be made new, that I need to be made whole. And when we do this, God begins to do this incredible work. And once you come into a relationship with Jesus, everything changes. I mean, when I was 23, when I finally stopped doing church and actually surrendered my life to Christ, God wrecked my life in a beautiful way. And having said that, here's what I know some of you are thinking. Okay, Brent, when I was in middle school or high school, at camp, or, you know, maybe it was even like this week, you're like, I gave my life to Christ. And so I know I'm supposed to be new. But why do I still feel like this? If I've been made new, if I've been made in the image of God, why do I still feel like this? It's because of what we said. We have an enemy. And he wants nothing more than to fill your life and your mind with lies. I mean, look at John chapter 10, verse 10, the first part of it. I mean, it gives us a game plan for your life, what the enemy's plan for your life is. It says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. The great news is if you are in Christ, like, he cannot destroy your life. The great news, if you're in Christ, he cannot destroy you. Like, that's already been settled. But what he can do is still feed you a bunch of lies and derail you and put you on the sidelines. And make no mistake about it, that's what he's going to do. John chapter 8 says this. It says that when the devil speaks, he lies because he's speaking his native language. Some of you speak multiple languages. When the devil speaks, his native tongue is lies. Scripture says he is the father of all lies. And what the enemy wants you to do, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to steal your innocence. He wants to steal your child's innocence. He wants to steal and rob you of integrity. He wants to kill us. If you would just open your eyes and look, as we prayed for the nations tonight, all over the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are being put to death because of their belief and their faith in the Lord. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your witness. He will look for any foothold to do this. And here's where the tension lies for all of us. That if we've been made new, then why do we still struggle? And here's the reason. Because we still listen to lies. I am a horrible speller and drawler, so I'm just going to, you know, ask Chuck. He said, I finally found someone that spells worse than me. And so we'll do my best. But we still have fear. We still have fear. We still feel unlovable. We still feel broken. He says, you're broken. You'll always be a victim. You're damaged goods. You're not, we have fear of, you have no real friends. So we have no friends. You know, that you're damaged. And we just, you could fill it in. I was just in Biloxi this last week and speaking to a disciple now, and they had a mirror just like kind of like this, but it was longer. And when they came in, it says, what is the thing that you fear the most? And people said, man, rejection. I don't want to be rejected. People said, I feel like I'm a disappointment to my parents. I feel like I'm never good enough. I feel like all these things that we struggle with. And some of you would look at this and you go, man, you know, how can this be? It's because when the enemy speaks and we listen to those things, then when we look in the mirror, what we see is no longer the perfect image that God placed in us. We just see these words. We see these words that God never desired for your life. We see these words that hold us back. And God has called you to live fearlessly in this world. But for that to happen, what we have to begin to do is not listen to these words. We have to begin to claim the Word of God and fill our minds with the Word of God. That's why Paul writes in Romans 12, 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world. What are the patterns of the world? To look into the world for validation, to look at the world for approval, to look at other people, anybody other than the Lord, for validation in our life. And Paul is saying, man, don't conform and be like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You get in God's Word. You spend time in it. You spend time listening to Him in prayer. And then the payoff is this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. This is why Chip and all the pastors here make such a big deal about the L3. That if we get in God's Word on a daily basis, When we see these words and when the enemy fills our minds with these words, here's what happens when you're in the Word of God. Like today, 2 John in the chapter says, man, there are going to be those that try to deceive you. That all of a sudden it just jumps off the page. You go, yeah, the enemy is a liar. And what we begin to do is see these words for what they really are. They're lies. They are lies that have been covered in the blood. They are things that have no longer have power. And the only way these things have power over us is when we give them power. That's what the enemy wants. What the enemy wants is for you to allow him to deceive you. And when you do, here's what you need to know. And I'm sorry if you can't see as I'm writing, but you allow this. You allow, see, God is wanting to write a story in your life. The reason you were created in his image, the reason you were created is because he has a purpose. And so what the enemy wants you to do is to come in. He wants to put a period in your story. He wants to say, you'll never amount to anything. You know what? Your damaged goods, your failed marriage, it's disqualified you. That addiction, it's disqualified you. Your kid's gone off the rails. You know what? You can't do this. You're really good at a sport. You blow out your knee. You see this with teenagers. Like what? Their whole world from the time we were little, we've built them up and made everything about travel sports. And then when they blow out their knee, they have no clue who they are. And it becomes this period in our life that just derails us. And God goes, that is not why I came and died on the cross and was resurrected, so that you could allow the enemy to put a period in your story. It's not why I came. I came to set you free. God doesn't want this for me. He doesn't want this for you. He doesn't want it for your kids. He doesn't want it for your neighbor. He doesn't want it for any of us. And what you need to realize is God is aware of your faults. He's aware that you're jacked up. He is. He's just not okay with you staying there. And what God wants to do is to enter in your story and where you've put a period. He wants you to come down here and put another line. And what God wants to do is he wants to put a semicolon, because he's not through writing your story. God wants to put a semicolon where you've allowed the enemy for far too long to put a period. And God wants to just show off how just awesome he is. And he wants to do his best work. That area that you think is jacked up, that area that you think that you're convinced has disqualified you, that is the area that God is going to show up and do his best work. God wants to show off to the world. Had I listened to what the enemy had to say, I would not be here today. Do you realize, my worst fear as a grown up as a kid in Sunday school, just if you ever lead small group, don't make people read out loud. You know, I pray, oh Lord, please do not let me have to read today, because I know I'm going to get like the Hittites or something, and I'm like, I ain't going to know what the Jebusites or whatever the sites are. I'd be like, yeah, what he said. No, please, Lord. And I was terrified. But God had a sense of humor. He took this boy who struggled with school and did. But you know what? One day it all of a sudden clicked. And that kid that struggled with school all of a sudden started making the dean's list. Mom and dad started getting a letter in the mail that says, your son made the dean's list, the president's list. They're like, hallelujah, there is a God. The struggle was real, and their persistence paid off. God had a plan. And had I listened to the enemy, I would have never experienced that. Something that I was so terrified of doing, reading out loud. God has used and given me ability to teach, and I've been able to lead hundreds of kids to faith in Christ in an area. And the Lord knew that, and so did the enemy. And so he worked so hard to derail me. Why? Not because I'm special, because God uses the foolish things of the world, like me, to shame the wise. And he looks at you today and he says, I want to do the same thing. That's how we know in the second half of John chapter 10, it says, the thief, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come. I have come that you may have life. Life to the full. Not just any life, an epic life, an amazing life, a life full of purpose. And Jesus wants you to know, he didn't just save you from something. He didn't just save you from this brokenness and this messed up life that you once lived in. He saved you for something. He saved you to expand his kingdom and to proclaim the gospel to the nations. And your neighbors your family members, that crazy uncle that you just don't think can be reached. God has placed His Spirit inside you so that you could speak into their life. God wants to do something incredible. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, all those people desperately need you. Not Chuck, not me, not Chip. They need you. The reason you live at your address is because He has placed neighbors around you so that you could love on them. Not so you could just go in, shut your garage, and never see them. That you could get outside. That you could invite people over. And do life with people. And they need you not just to share the gospel with your lips. They need you to embody the gospel with your lives. People are open to the gospel when we actually live out the gospel. So the question really becomes tonight, will you trust Him? And what I would say to you is stop letting what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with Him. Stop letting what's broken with you keeping you from worshiping what's right with Jesus. I mean, just look at the New Testament with the disciples. He used a bunch of nobodies, rejects. And that was like, hey, I'm in then. And He looks at you and He goes, don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with me and what I want to do in your life. And what would happen in this room if we begin to simply ask this question? God, how do you want to step into this broken area? God, how do you want to step into this area that I've allowed just to just take root in my heart? God, how do you want to just work and set me free? God, how do you want to do something supernatural? Not in the absence of fear, in the absence of my insecurities, but in spite of them. Because I realize what the world needs to see is not a bunch of perfect people propped up that think they have it all together, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What the world needs to see is a beautiful mess. The church should be the place that broken people come. And that's one thing we love. Our first Sunday was Love First. It's all about going to the incarcerated. I'm like, man, that's what we want to be about. That's what I want my kids to embrace, is to go, man, we are all about pursuing people that the world doesn't want to have anything to do. Why? Because that's the people that Jesus calls us to go to. And I would say to you, when's the last time you just cried yourself to sleep, burdened over a neighbor or a family member? And what God wants is for you just to claim these things. Our world desperately needs to see Jesus lived out in practical ways. Is the struggle going to be real? Is it going to be a struggle? Absolutely. But here's what I would say to you, especially those that have kids. Like, when has anything that was easy been worthwhile? I mean, we got kids. I remember when I played baseball, like, the first year of kid pitch, it was like, you need counseling after that. You got hit like a million times. But now, it's like, that doesn't happen. Why? Because we got 8-year-olds with pitching coaches. I mean, come on. So we're not afraid to make investments. We're not afraid to work hard. We got kids that are grinding it out. Traveling all over the country. But man, are we grinding it out spiritually? Are we grinding it out on our knees before the Lord saying, God, would you do something in and through my life to set people free? Like, it's great that we make a big deal about sports. But like, if they're good at sports, then man, that is a platform for the gospel. And if you're good at your job, like you're a great salesperson, it's not just so you can make a lot of money. It's so that you can make much of who Jesus is. That all of us have these places that we are every single day. And what God wants those places to become is these sacred spaces where people can connect to Christ. And the way that happens is by us claiming God's word. Last scripture I'm going to give you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. It says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't carry guns around, you know, and bow and arrow and stuff. That's not how we fight the good fight for Christ. He goes, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, it says, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient. I am convinced, as walking with the Lord now for quite a while, that the number one way the enemy derails all of us is in our minds. And what God says is you got to take those thoughts, you got to take these negative words, and you got to bring them under the authority of Jesus. And you make them obedient. You're like, Brent, how do I make them obedient? You make them obedient by ignoring them and claiming the word of God. You're like, well, what is the word of God said? In Romans 8, it says this, it says you're more than a conqueror. 1 John 3 says that you are the children of God. That's what you are. You claim that. You say, I'm a child of the King. I'm the daughter, the son of the Holy One. Romans 8 also says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of you. And we know from Timothy that that spirit did not give you fear, but love and power and a sound mind to walk in freedom. And this is what I believe. God is wanting to set some people free tonight. Some of you, you have lived in fear and hurt and rejection for far too long. You've allowed the enemy to just fill your brains. For some of you in the room tonight, man, you need to, for the first time, you realize. Maybe you've been in church a long time and you just realized, you know what? The reason I'm struggling is because I've never really turned and repented from my sin. I just tried like some religious things, like going to church and worshiping. God, I never just said, would you come in? Would you wreck my life? Would you save me? But there are others of us, a lot of us in the room, we've given our life to Christ, but yet we've allowed the enemy to convince us that we're still damaged. And I just would hate for any of us to leave tonight, allowing the enemy to put a period where God wants to show up and put a semicolon. So in a second, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, I'm going to ask this. When I'm done praying, some of you, God is saying, you need to give your life to Jesus. And here's what you need to know. There's going to be some people down here on the front. And man, they're down here not because of any other reason, but they love the Lord and they love praying for people. And they want to receive you and be able to pray over your life. And for you, if that tonight is, that means you need to give your life to Christ, I would encourage you, man, be courageous and step out. But I would also say for someone, you go, man, Brent, I have just lived in shame and I've allowed the enemy to derail me. And you know, maybe you're feeling called to ministry and you've just always thought, man, it's too late. You're too old. God says, no, it's never too late. And you would respond. So Jesus, this is what we pray. God, we ask, would you bring freedom? Lord, would you bring freedom for us to let go of things that we have let define us for so long. Lord, if there's someone in the room and then they say, man, Brent, I want Jesus. I want him to forgive me of my sin. God, would they come forward tonight to talk to someone? Maybe grab a friend beside them that they would bring with them so they don't feel weird. God, would you just break addictions? Would you break insecurities? Would you break strongholds? God, would we begin to take those negative thoughts captive and make them obedient to who you say we are? Lord, we love you. We trust you. God, give us freedom to respond in obedience to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.